Welcome back to Money Mania, where we're talking tax season and what to do with that refund. If you really want your tax refund to have a positive impact, I'm bullish on Ohio's 529 plan. I always say, invest in something you love. Well, there's nothing we love more than our kids. So invest in their future and let your tax refund help. For as little as $25, you can get started today at collegeadvantage.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Welcome to the Smirconish Podcast for independent minds.
So there is a must-read posted at Smirconish.com and made the cut for today's newsletter. I think I would set it up this way. I'll bet that even non-lawyers have heard of the concept of fruit of a poisonous tree in a legal capacity. Well, Ken Delanian, who's the justice and intelligence correspondent for NBC News, has a story, a rather extreme example of the fruit of a poisonous tree. And he joins me now to flesh this out. Thank you so much for being here, Ken. It's great to have you back.
Glad to do it, Michael. Good to talk to you.
What a story. Like, I discussed this last night at dinner with one of our sons who is in law school, and I said, this is straight out of a law school exam.
It is really fascinating. I'm glad, as a legal story, you appreciate it. It's also fascinating on a human level and tragic and horrific. And, you know, look, it's not clear that this is the fruits of the poisonous tree. We're going to find out
right.
Maybe today.
Right. Brian.
But certainly that's what the lawyers are saying.
Brian Jeffrey Raymond. Who is he?
He is a former CIA officer who was based for many years in Mexico City, working out of the embassy under diplomatic cover, living in government paid housing. And back in 2020, a Mexican woman ran screaming from his apartment, claiming that he had raped her. And that started an investigation, led to his resignation from the CIA. He flew back to Virginia. State Department diplomatic security service agents had the case for reasons that are not clear to me. And they served a search warrant on him in Virginia to seize his iPhones. He had two phones, one paid for by the CIA, one his personal phone. And that warrant allowed these agents to use biometrics, his fingerprint at the time, to compel him to use that to open the phones. But it did not allow them to force him to provide his PIN code, because that's considered testimonial under the Fifth Amendment, self-incrimination. And so, essentially, I mean, they botched the execution of this warrant in a number of ways, Michael.
So let's walk through, because it really is important to get into the weeds and understand. They go initially, they come back again. What happened in each of those instances, all of which played out close in time?
That's right. So the big picture here is that these agents appeared not to understand how iPhones work. The judge called it technological ineptitude. They came there without a plan to open the phone, keep the phone open, and image the data right away, which is what they would have had to have done. They left. They came to him, got him out of his hotel room, explained the situation, took his phones without opening them, without even using the biometrics the first time. So they had a phone that was essentially a brick to them. So people understand, iPhones are, even back then, were encrypted. So without the code, you know, you have no access to them. So they consulted with a lawyer, a prosecutor at the Justice Department, who, by the way, is no longer working as a prosecutor, and she instructed them to go back to get the biometrics. That was their first mistake, at least according to the defense, because the defense's contention is, look, a warrant is like a kidnapping and a robbery. It allows the government to deprive a person of rights. And once that's done, it's over. If you want to go back, you need to get a second warrant, except in very specific circumstances, like, say, the FBI searching a house and they can't open a safe. They can leave someone to guard the safe, bring back a safe cracker. That's not what happened in this case. They said, we're done, we're leaving. And they went back. They were trying to convince him to provide his passcode voluntarily. They did say, look, you don't have to do it. They got his biometrics, but they weren't able to keep the phone open because, of course, it locked up again. And they had no plan to sort of what to do in that situation. So they went back a third time. And finally, they got him to give over his PIN code. They asked him a total of 37 times. The defense claims that they badgered him into doing it. They gave him the impression he was required to do it, and therefore that was a Fifth Amendment violation.
In the second visit, when they couldn't keep the phone open, did they get the thumbprint they were looking for and the PIN code?
I believe they got the biometrics at the second visit, but that wasn't enough because they were not able to change the internal settings so that you didn't need biometrics to open the phone again.
Right.
So, of course, when it locked up, they were, again, sitting there with a brick. They had to go back another time. Finally, they got them the passcode.
Okay. When they go back after now the third visit and they unlock the phone, what do they find?
They find dozens and hundreds, it later emerged, of photos, very incriminating photos of Brian Jeffrey Raymond with incapacitated women sexually abusing them. And when they went and interviewed these women, they had no memory of these photos being taken. They thought they were on a date. They were a little hazy about what happened. And so what the government says is he was drugging, although they don't have physical evidence of that. They haven't, the toxicology has been inconclusive, but the government's theory is that he was incapacitating these women and sexually assaulting them. And the evidence was so strong that he agreed to plead guilty and did plead guilty in a plea deal to two counts of sexual abuse. He was facing a long prison term. And then one of his lawyers realized that there were these problems with the search that another of his lawyers apparently didn't detect or flag. And so they were able to argue to the judge that he should withdraw his plea, which, as you know, is a rare thing. Once you've gone into court and said, I'm guilty, it takes a lot to be able to withdraw a guilty plea. But the judge ruled that the problems with the search were sufficient and enough of a question that she had to allow him to withdraw the guilty plea. And then he was indicted on 25 counts, and that's where we stand now. I'm about to go in and watch part of this hearing on whether the evidence should be suppressed.
Okay, I won't keep you long, but I want to read this paragraph from your reporting for NBC. As part of his agreement to plead guilty to two charges, the FBI said, Raymond admitted to having sexual intercourse with two of the women depicted when both were unable to apprise of the nature of the conduct. In his plea agreement, he also admitted that over the course of 14 years, he recorded and or photographed unconscious and nude or partially nude women touched their breasts, buttocks, and or genitalia while they were incapable of consent. He was admitting and taking a plea deal, but now because of the way in which the search warrant was executed, we're about to find out if any of that evidence is going to be admissible. Without that evidence, Ken, do they have any kind of a case?
It's unclear to me because the defense is really asking for all of it to be thrown out because they're, as you started with the fruit of the poisonous tree theory, they're arguing that all the evidence on the iPhone led to the probable cause that allowed him to obtain all the other evidence from his iCloud account, from his various devices. So it may well be that they have very little. A lot of these victims don't remember very much. And the judge ruled that he should remain in the D.C. jail, which is not a pleasant place. He's been there for 3 years.
3 years.
Because he said the evidence is so strong.
Right.
That he is, in her words, a sexual predator. And there's a chance he could walk free in this case. Now, the government is hoping, at the very least, that something called the good faith exception could apply here, which is essentially these agents may have been negligent, they may have made mistakes, but the probable cause was good, the evidence was good, and you know their intentions were good. We're going to have to see whether that can apply in a case where the mistakes were so extreme.
And finally, the issues here revolve around the Fourth Amendment, which guards against unreasonable search and seizure, the Fifth Amendment, which says that a person can't be forced to testify against himself. I mean, there's some really interesting questions. If I have to put my thumb on the phone or enter my PIN number, am I testifying against myself? If a police officer pulls me over and asks for access to my phone, do I have to give it? Those are the sort of questions we're addressing here.
Right. And in a context where the phone contains so much information about our lives, more so than the founding fathers who wrote the Fourth Amendment ever could have envisioned. It's really interesting. And, you know, look, people may say, how could somebody who's admitted to these horrific crimes go free? And the answer, as you know, as a lawyer, is because it's not about this person. It's about the innocent person whose rights are abused under the Fourth Amendment. And these are the kind of constitutional guarantees that we all rely on.
That's exactly right. Perfectly stated. Go off to court. And thank you so, so much.
Such a pleasure, Michael. Good to talk to you.
Ken Delanian is the justice and intelligence correspondent for NBC News. Now you've got the insight. Perfect timing.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, holy smokes.
This is the Smirconish Podcast from SiriusXM.
Welcome back to Money Mania, where we're talking tax season and what to do with that refund. If you really want your tax refund to have a positive impact, I'm bullish on Ohio's 529 plan. I always say, invest in something you love. Well, there's nothing we love more than our kids. So invest in their future and let your tax refund help. For as little as $25, you can get started today at collegeadvantage.com.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Listen to Michael live weekdays on POTUS, SiriusXM Channel 124, and on the SXM app.
Now you've got the insight.
Perfect timing. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, holy smokes. And look, the guy is allegedly, reportedly, a bad guy. A bad guy. A CIA officer.
Wait, not allegedly, reportedly. Admittedly.
Okay, maybe that too, but now he's withdrawn that plea. I'm just trying to protect the franchise
okay.
here. The prosecution's case against a former CIA officer accused of sexually abusing more than 20 incapacitated women in Mexico City is at risk of collapsing because the Justice and State Departments may have botched the execution of a warrant to seize the officer's iPhones, so say court records. A federal judge hearing arguments today about whether nearly 600 photos of the defendant allegedly abusing incapacitated women should be thrown out in a dispute that could make new law on the question of what constitutes an improper search in the digital era. The former CIA officer is Brian Jeffrey Raymond. He's been held without bail in a Washington, D.C. jail for nearly 3 years. He made a deal to plead guilty to two counts of sexual abuse in July of 2021, admitting in court to preying upon women he met in and outside the U.S. through dating sites, even as he carried out clandestine duties for the CIA. But the one-time spy withdrew his plea last year after members of his legal team realized there were significant problems of how the evidence in the case was obtained. In allowing Raymond to change his plea, the federal judge ruled that one of his former defense lawyers had been ineffective in noting major concerns about the manner in which investigators gained access to his iPhones. They made three trips. They cajoled him. They didn't advise him of his rights. They couldn't keep the phones open. You can imagine that. They come out, they take the phone, they leave. Like, wait a minute, what are we going to do with this?
It's like
they
the thousandth example of how technology has surpassed the law.
Right.
But this is
they go back the second time, they get the thumbprint, but they don't have the PIN code. So after they open the phone, it's like, whoop, it all disappears. Now they go back the next time for the PIN code. It's just fraught with legal peril. But I've never read of a more clear example of what we're talking about when we describe fruit of the poisonous tree. And Ken framed the issue that I want to frame for the POTUS audience perfectly, which is this. On one hand, you say, this guy's a bad guy. Yes, he did plead to it. He withdrew the plea, but he's seemingly a bad guy, and they've got him dead to rights, it would seem, with the images captured on his phone. He's drugging women. He's drugging women and then he's abusing them and he's photographing it the whole time and he's keeping the pictures. Okay. Bad guy. On the other hand, if you allow this information to be seized to prosecute him, then what kind of a precedent are you setting for everybody else who might not be as bad as that guy, might not have done anything, right? That's the issue. Call me. I'm at the following number, 855-48. Do you want the evidence admitted? Do you want the evidence admitted? Jim, you're in Sarasota, Florida. I thought of it. I didn't say it. I saved it for you. Go ahead.
Very simple. Better a guilty man go free than an innocent man go to jail. That's the rule of law, that we have. That's what the Constitution is all about. If you don't want to live with that, get the hell out of the country.
Holy smokes. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. We do appreciate your brevity. We really do. Fern, you heard what he said. You feel differently, I think. Go ahead.
Hi, Michael.
Hi.
Huge admirer. What about the victims? I understand the legal entwinement. The law needs to catch up. But in the meantime, what about these women? There's irrefutable proof on this man's phone.
Yes.
It's a personal device.
Yes.
Can you explain that? How do we tell the victims?
Well, I would have to rely on the last caller and say, as unfair as it seems to you, if we prosecute, I'm just making the argument. I don't know if this is the way the court's going to rule, but if we prosecute him based on the way in which we gathered the evidence, we're setting the stage for someone who's perhaps innocent to now be prosecuted in a way that would be unfair, or to have their phone searched in a way that would be unfair. It's the precedent that matters. I know it seems horribly unfair, and we're talking about lots and lots of victims in this case.
The thing is, Michael, what you keep in your phone is very personal. So that provides a picture of your soul in a way, right?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely. It's much more than a phone.
If they open the phone, it's a treasure trove for this guy. But
yep.
For someone else,
yep.
That's my argument.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it's a good argument. I mean, it's not like the day when... Remember our first cell phones, probably the clamshell model? I remember the battery that you had to slide on the back of it. Agents took the phones from Raymond after meeting him in the lobby of his hotel, but he had turned them off before handing them over. Accessing them at that point required the passcode, which the agents did not have. They went back to the hotel an hour later after consulting with a Justice Department prosecutor and told Raymond he was compelled to use his thumbprint to open the phones. But the agents failed to keep the phones from locking. So they went back a third time at the prosecutor's urging, and Raymond provided his passcodes, allowing them to change the settings so that they could continue to access them. Defense lawyers argue that the agents violated two cardinal rules that render the search unconstitutional. One, they say, a warrant only allows one search, except under the very specific circumstances. They say that once the agents left with the phones the first time, the court-ordered search was over and the warrant was no longer valid. Two, they say the agents badgered Raymond and made him believe he was compelled to hand over his phone. The agent's plan for executing the warrant shows they were doomed to fail because they had no viable plan for maintaining access after using biometrics to open the phone, defense lawyers wrote in court papers. Unfortunately, during the seizure, the agents made matters worse by suggesting and allowing Mr. Raymond to turn his phones off, disabling biometric features, which was their only hope of gaining compelled initial access to the phones. They therefore needed PIN codes and eventually passwords to get and maintain access to the phones. However, Mr. Raymond now asked for an attorney, and he refused to provide such codes and passwords. Thwarted by his rightful refusal to provide codes, the agents, acting on the advice of prosecutors, unlawfully, unreasonably seized Mr. Raymond and his phones two additional times until they got full access.
This is
the Smirconish Podcast from SiriusXM.
Swing into Seaside Golf in Ocean City, Maryland. Play like a pro at 17 championship courses designed by golf legends like Jack Nicklaus and Arthur Hills. Tee off on sweeping vistas at Eagle's Landing. Savor the coastal views of Lighthouse Sound. Or see why Ocean City Golf Club is considered one of the Mid-Atlantic's finest fairways. Whether you're sneaking in a quick round on a family vacation or going all in on a golf getaway, fun is always in play at Ocean City, Maryland. Plan your trip at OCOcean.com.
Hey there. I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out that was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall, a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog. So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Listen to Michael live weekdays on POTUS, SiriusXM channel 124, and on the SXM app.
Todd is in Sunnyvale and says, I am asking the wrong question. What is the right question?
Well, Michael, the reason I said that is because in this particular case, it seems to me, well, really all legal cases, right? The point is to get to the truth. If the question in this case is, hey, should the evidence be allowed, blah, 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 because we want to follow the legal process, I think that's the wrong question because in this case, you know the truth. You know exactly what happened. And if the point is, if the general point is, yeah, we got to follow the legal process, cross all the T's and dot all the I's, that's the tail wagging the dog. This guy is guilty.
Okay, now, so wait a minute. So the wait. The standard then, the constitutional rights, you are saying, that only applies where there's like some gray area. Come on. In a case where we have
dead
to rights, no rights.
I totally see what you're saying. But in this case, the tail would totally be wagging the dog. It's the wrong question. The guy is guilty. Right?
Yes, absolutely. It certainly seems like he is a guilty man. But I think that doesn't mean you have less constitutional privilege than someone who we're not sure about.
Yeah, no, I get it. It's the sticky wicket of our democracy.
Yes, that's what makes this a hell of a conversation starter. I totally agree. Ken, you say that I've got it completely backwards. How so?
What?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Oh, thank you. I'm following up on basically your response to the last caller. The issue has got nothing to do with what this person did or what he's accused of. It's 100% on what the police did. The whole purpose of these is to protect us from the state. And that's, you know, whether the police abused his rights to go out and use anybody's rights next time. And that's what the focus is always on.
Okay. So therefore, now as you and I are speaking, there is a judge behind closed doors having to decide whether this evidence comes in or whether it is fruit of a poisonous tree. If you were that judge, and you know, just based on my summary, what would you do?
I'd probably let it in because there was a warrant. The issue is, did the warrant expire from the first search? I don't think so. I think the warrant was access to
okay,
the
but wait a minute, Ken, remember now, the warrant gets you the phone. The issue here is what about his Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights, where the phone's not enough because it's locked.
Right. Well, then
you got to compel him.
Warrant.
And by the way, thank you, Ken. I appreciate it. Let me frame it this way. When you force me to enter my PIN, I have to think about this. Am I going to have a different standard for biometrics versus the PIN code? I don't know. And I'll put that to you. I can't be forced to testify against myself. If I put my thumbprint on a phone to unlock it, or if I enter a code, my code is QWERTY. If I enter QWERTY, am I now being compelled to be a witness against myself? That's the issue. You say yes. You say I am.
I do think so, yes. Hmm. However, I agree with the caller that said in this instance...
TC, maybe I shouldn't say, and it's just a kind of a curiosity to me.
Oh,
but if you look at Ken's coverage of this posted at Smirconish.com, perfect kind of a story where you want to go back and read it later. Hooray, no paywall. He's a handsome guy.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. It actually stood out to me, too, because you would think, you would hope that someone that was allegedly, reportedly a monster, an evil doer, you would be able to look at him and recognize that. And you look at him and you think, wow, this is someone I'd bring home to mom. What I mean?
Who's the guy on the West Coast? Brian, was it Peterson?
Oh, Lacey Peterson's. Yes.
He killed his wife.
Yeah.
He was a good looking guy too.
I know.
I don't know what I'm saying.
We always want to associate someone who is a monster with someone who is scary looking so that you would know, you would be cautious.
Yes.
And yet, that's so funny that you said that, because that absolutely stood out to me, too.
In ruling to deny his bond, because, again, he's been in prison for jail for the last 3 years, the judge concluded the video and photographic exhibits show the defendant has violently enacted a fetish for unconscious women by drugging and sexually assaulting scores of women over the course of several years. That evidence included Raymond's interactions with hundreds of women on dating sites, photos of sexually aroused Raymond manipulating the bodies of this guy's like a twisted dude, right? Of unconscious women, interviews with the victims, evidence that he repeatedly searched the internet using terms including passed out girl, Ambien and alcohol and pass out and deep sleep.
Is it hubris that he doesn't think he's going to get caught? I mean, he's in a business of subterfuge.
You would think he's a CIA agent.
He would know that is going to get you caught. You would think.
Yeah, don't know.
Must be just complete hubris.
Jim, you're in Brooklyn, New York. Greetings. What are you thinking about this case?
Hey, Michael. How are you?
Hi. All right.
Hey, I'm thinking that if he opened the phone legally, if he let them open the phone legally with the biometric, that the phone should be deemed as open. And if technology is such that the FBI screwed up or there was a glitch, it shouldn't matter. The phone is deemed as opened, and if they need to open it again, that it's there. It's what if I found a file during a warrant, a physical file? Am I only allowed to look at it once? Can I go back to it? I think it's the same thing with the phone.
I mean, they made 3 trips. On the first trip, they couldn't open it, as I understand from Ken's reporting. They get the phone, they go back, like, the phone's worthless because we can't get into the phone. By the way, who would think you're going to take a phone away and be able to get into it? But that happened in this case. Okay, they go back the second time, they get the biometrics, but then the phone turns off again, so they're out of luck again. Now they go back the third time, and they get the PIN code, and now I think they change it so that they control when they can get access. One of the arguments is that search warrant was good for one visit. You went back and had a second crack and then a third crack at the apple.
Yeah, well, if they were able to get the phone open legally, let's say, the first time, regardless that the phone later closed or that later they weren't able to get it, if they were able to get it legally open the first time, it should be deemed as open, and they should be able to go back to the well, let's say, and have him open it again as many times as...
Yeah, I hear you, but I don't think they did get it the first time. I think it was the second time that they first got access, and then they couldn't keep it open. I love that you're into this case. It's a really good story, and Ken wrote it well, so access it at smirconish.com.
The Smirconish Podcast for independent minds.
Listen to Michael Smirconish live weekdays from 9 a.m. to noon East on SiriusXM's POTUS Channel 124 or anytime on the SXM app.
Connect with Michael on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and at Smirconish.com.
Hey there. I host a show called Therapy Gecko, where I dress up as a lizard and talk to anonymous strangers from the internet about their lives. They tell me their relationship problems.
I found out that I was related to the guy that I was dating.
Their hobbies.
I collect my roommate's toenails and fingernails.
Their secrets.
When we did not have toilet paper, I would use the shower curtain.
And also sometimes kind of serious stuff.
I have anxiety when I talk to people.
I'm also sometimes joined by celebrity guests like Doja Cat, Lil Yachty, Bobby Lee, and Eric Andre. Some of the more interesting calls we've gotten recently include a guy who argued with a demon living on his wall, a caller drunk at his job at a middle school, and a caller wondering whether or not he should transform into a dog. So if you're sick of your own life and you want to get lost in the life of a stranger, search for Therapy Gecko wherever you get your podcasts.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.